Today's shir is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Pei Gimel, and we will begin at the Mishnah on top of the Amid. The Mishnah teaches us how tzomos, the bones of the Korban Pesach, hagidin, the veins, the tendons, v'anoiser, and what's left over from the Korban Pesach, as we will learn. The Torah says, loisasiru mimena abayker, we're not allowed to leave over anything from the Korban Pesach, whatever is left over, must be burnt in fire. Yisrafu, they should be burnt, but they should not be burnt on the first day of Pesach in the morning, which is Chamisha Asr, 15 days in Nisan. Rather, they should be burnt B'Shisha Asr on the 16th day of Pesach, which in Eretz Yisrael is the first day of Chol HaMoed. And the Mefarshim point out that that if the 16th day comes out on Shabbos, which is not passable in Eretz, which is not really passable in our calendar, because in our calendar, lo b'du Pesach, Pesach doesn't come out Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, so the second day of Pesach could really never come out on Shabbos, but in their times, they were Mekadosh al Piriyah, they determined the moon, the month through the moon, and whenever it came out, so it could come out. Yisrafu b'shiva asr, it should be burnt on the third day Yontif, the second day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, because it's not lefi she'ena doicha, burning the noiser isn't doicha, doesn't override lois Shabbos for lois Yontif. It may not be burnt not on Shabbos, not as Yontif. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question: if, as we learned in the Mishnah, it'll be explained in the Gemara, you're not allowed to burn the Korban Pesach on Yontif, certainly you're not allowed to burn it on Shabbos. So why does the Mishnah have to teach me that it doesn't override Shabbos? So Mefarshim answer that Pesach, that you have to burn the leftover on the second day Yontif, is a pasuk. Baboiker, it should be burnt on the second day of Yontif, not on the first day. So I would think what the pasuk is telling me, it should always be burnt on the second day of Yontif, even if that day comes out to be on Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah teaches us. That's not pshat in the pasuk, and the pasuk is not telling us that the second day must be the day to burn it. What the pasuk is telling us is it should not be burnt prior to the second day, but if the second day is Shabbos, then it has to be burnt later. The Mefarshim also asks, the Mishnah says that you have to burn the bones and the gidin and the noiser, the leftover. So they ask, if the Mishnah is teaching us that you have to burn even the bones and the gidin, certainly you have to burn the noiser. So why does the Mishnah have to explicitly say the noiser? So Mefarshim answer that if the Mishnah would have only taught us the halacha of atzomais v'gidin, we would think that the burning of that atzomais v'gidin do not override Yontif and Shabbos, and may not be burnt on Yontif or Shabbos. However, the noiser, which the Torah explicitly tells us must be burnt, I would think may override, their burning may override Shabbos or Yontif. That's why the Mishnah clearly spells out the halacha, even on the noiser, that it too may not be burnt on Yontif or Shabbos. The halacha is, as we said, the noiser must be burnt. However, as we've explained many times, in ancient times, people were very careful about Tumah Tahara. So Chazal, in order to make sure that people did not leave noiser in their homes, made a gzeira that noiser is metame es yadayim, that somebody touches noiser becomes tame. And by making that gzeira, what they accomplished was that people were more careful with hilchos noiser. Tells us the Gemara, Amar Rab Mori Baravu Amar Rab Yitzchak, at some is kachim, the bones of kachim, sheshimshu noiser, that served as a carrier of noiser, have the same din as noiser, and metamin as yadayim, a metamin the hands, just like noiser is, hoil v'nasu basis davar asur. Since they became the base for the noiser, they have the same din of noiser, and just like noiser is metamin yadayim, so too they will be metamin yadayim. Says the Gemara, name him a silei. Perhaps we can have a proof to this halacha from our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Hatzomes v'agidin v'anoiser yisrafu l'shisha asr. Is the question, Hani Hatzomes heichidami? What is the status of these bones? If you're going to say that they don't have any marrow in them, so there's no noiser in them, why must these bones be burnt? Nishtinu, they should be just discarded. Only noiser is there a halacha where the Torah tells us they must be burnt. But this is not noiser if there's no marrow in them, which is an edible food. El pshita, what's the Mishnah talking about? This bumayich, that there is marrow in this bones, and since the marrow became nicer, the bones also become nicer. So, if you're going to say that something is a carrier of nicer, has the same din of nicer, that's why you have to burn the bones, because the bones also have the status of nicer. If you're going to say something which is a carrier of nicer, doesn't have the same status as nicer, why must these bones be burned? Nitbarinu, let's break open the bone. The nechatzel moich to do, remove the marrow from them. The nishafei, that marrow would have to be burnt because that marrow has the status of noiser, which absolutely must be burnt. The nishtinel to do, and throw out the bone. Because the Gemara and the Havamina here is learning that although there's an iser to break bones of a carbon pesach, the etzem loisish buruboy, that iser is only while the carbon is kosher. But here that the carbon is already possible, it became nicer, there is no problem in breaking the bone. If the Mishnah teaches us that the bone, which served as a carrier, must be burnt, it teaches us that the atzomos of nicer have the din of nicer. El shlav shmamina, shimish nicer, milsehi, the bones that carry the nicer have the din of nicer. So the Azarua brings a raya from our Mishnah, that bone, that utensils, plates, or anything made out of bone, are not beleya, do not absorb tam, do not absorb. Because if the halacha would be that bone absorbs, then maybe the reason the bones in our Mishnah have to be burnt is because they had noiser in them, and they absorbed from that noiser, and that's why it has to be burnt. It's Shaila in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Shach discuss, can we kasher bone, do we say it absorbs? Lahalocha, we are machmer, that we consider bone something that does absorb, and not only do we consider it something that absorbs, it's something that can't be kashered by Hagola. But truthfully, there's a strong raya from our Gemara that it doesn't absorb, because otherwise the entire discussion of our Gemara would not be understandable. So the Shoyle Meshev explains, what is the concern here? We're saying that perhaps the bones absorb nicer. How much nicer, says the Shoyle Meshev, is considered usur? Says the Shoyle Meshev, only a kezayis of nicer. You have to have at least a kezayis of nicer to create isur. So yes, says the Shoyle Meshev, perhaps bones do absorb tam. But here we have very little marrow in a bone, less than a kazayis, so that isn't enough to make the bone that absorbs less than a kazayis of tam noiser osur. And that's why the Gemara has to look for a different reason why the bones have to be broken. Amri, so they say loy. Lo'ayl ma'imalach, I'll perhaps tell you, shimish noiser lav milsehi. Something that only serves as a carrier of noiser is not considered noiser. However, the Kesavar, the Tan of our Mishnah holds, boy, when the Torah says the etzem leisishbru boy, you're not allowed to break a bone in the Karban Pesach, but baser, you're not allowed to break it afil b'posel, even if it's a posel of Karban Pesach, and therefore this carbon, which is posel, because it became nice, it's still you're not allowed to break open the bone to remove the marrow, and that's why the bone must be burnt. And Taisa says, there's another way of removing the marrow without breaking the bone, and that is by taking a coal and putting it under the bone, and that will cause the marrow to drip out. So Taisa says there are two reasons not to use that type of an approach. It's a terech Taisvus says. It's not a simple procedure. And also says Taisvus that since we're learning now, you're not allowed to break such a bone. Using this approach, it's very likely that the bone would be broken. We're saying you're not allowed to break the bone. Ask the Gemara, afilu b'posel salkadaitach, can you say that there's an iser to break the bone of a carbon Pesach that is already disqualified, that became tummy, for example, or became nicer? For Tanan, aval ha-moyse b'tohor, if somebody leaves over from the carbon Pesach, the next Mishnah we're going to learn, v'ashoyver b'tomei, or somebody breaks a bone of a tomei carbon Pesach, ein es soifik es aboyim, he doesn't get malchus. There is no issa of breaking a bone in a posel of carbon Pesach. Answers the Gemara loy kasha. Can choice loy shasa kasher. Our Mishnah is discussing a carbon Pesach that was 1 point kasher, and then it became nicer. On that type of a carbon Pesach, there is an iser of breaking a bone, even though now it's already posel. Can the next Mishnah that says that there is no iser in breaking the bone of a disqualified carbon Pesach is speaking about a carbon Pesach shloi hoyt shloi shasa kosher, was never qualified, was never eligible to be used as a carbon Pesach. Says the Gemara, man tane de shonale ben hoyslo shasa kosher loloy hoyslo shasa kosher. Who's the tane that says there's a difference between if the carbon was once eligible to be used as a carbon or not? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov. It's Rabbi Yaakov. The Tanya, we learned in a brisa. The pasuk says, "Etzem leisizru boy." We're not allowed to break a bone of the carbon Pesach. Boy, the kosher in the kosher carbon Pesach, v'lo b'posel, not in a disqualified one. Rav Yaakov Omer, if it had a time where it was valid and then it became disqualified, yesh boi m'shvirim shvirus etzem, you're not allowed to break a bone of it, even though now it's already disqualified. Loi hois lo shasa kosher, however, was never valid as a carbon, ain boi m'shvirim shvirus etzem, there is no issue to break a bone. Shimon says, Echidzeh, whether the carbon was once eligible as a carbon, kosher carbon, whether it was never valid, Ainbim Shim Shvirus Etzim, there is no Issim. And Tosfos points out that isn't Rav Shimon and the Tanakama, aren't Rav Shimon and Tanakama saying the same thing? So Tosfos says the way to understand the Braisa is that Rav Shimon and Rav Yaakov are arguing. Rav Shimon and Rav Yaakov are arguing what is pshat in the Tanakama. That the Tanakama said that you're not, that there is no iser to break a bone of a disqualified carbon Pesach. So Rav Yaakov said that's only talking about a carbon Pesach that was never valid. And Rav Shimon says that it means any carbon Pesach which at this point is disqualified. And the Maram Shik explains what is the basis for Shimon's psak. Says the Maram Shik, Rav Shimon is the man, the Omer, that says, B'chol ha-Torah kula, dashinon tamad kro. We explain why the Torah said what it says. The Chinuch says that why are we not allowed to break the bones of a carbon Pesach? Because, says the Chinuch, on Pesach by night, every Jew is supposed to act like a melech, like a king, like a ben chayrin, and therefore Pesach by night, he should not break bones, which is not the way kings eat. So when is that a relevant concern, says Rav Shimon? Only when it's a carbon that could be eaten. However, the carbon can be eaten anyway, there is no concern to break a bone, and that's why Rav Shimon holds such bones may be broken. The Maram Shik says, how could there be a man de Omer that says that there is no iser to break the bones of an invalid carbon Pesach, or a disqualified carbon Pesach? He asks, where did we learn the whole din of the etzim le'sish ruboy, that we're not allowed to break the bones of a carbon Pesach? So he says, we learn it from the carbon Pesach that was brought in Mitzrayim. Now, Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael, was still tamei, because they didn't have yet the Parah Aduma, and yet we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them Etzem Leisish Ruboy, that we're not allowed to break any bones from the carbon Pesach. Evidently, even in a disqualified carbon, there's an issa to break a bone. Says the Maram Shik, there was no issue of Tumah yet for Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, because the din of Tumah v'Tahara only applies, says the Maram Shik, to, he says it from the Chasam Sofer, to Jews. Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim did not yet have the status of Jews, and since they did not yet have the status of Jews, they had no din of Tameim that disqualified the Korban Pesach because they're Tamei. Continues the Gemara. Meisvei asked the Gemara a question. It says in a Braisa, Kol Atzom is HaKotchim, all bones of Kotchim, and Tunin Sreifa, don't have to be burnt. Chutz, the only exception, is Atzom is HaPesach, the bones of the Korban Pesach, of Ne'et HaKola, because we want to avoid a problem. We want to avoid breaking open the bones, and therefore they have to be burnt because of that concern. Now, the Pnei Shlomo asks, why does the Gemara say that the reason you're not allowed to break the bones of a Korban Pesach of Ne'et HaKola, we're afraid that you may come to do something wrong? It was saying now that there's an Isser to break bones, so we should have said, Bnei Shiesh Itzer Lishbar, because there's an Isser to break the bones of a Korban Pesach. So the Pnei Shlomo answers, once Chazal taught us that we're not allowed to break the bones of a Korban Pesach, even when it's posel, that din is not limited to a Korban Pesach to a bone that has in a marrow. Even a bone that doesn't have in it marrow may not be burnt. But on that type of bone, the entire concern is only Pnei HaKola. That's why the Braisa preferred to use the terminology of Pnei HaKola versus using the reason Pnei also Lishbar Etzem. Now continues the Gemara analyzing this Braisa. Hani Atzom Sechidami, what is the status of these bones? Ilaim Deles B'moyach, if there's no marrow in these bones, Lamal Sreifa, why must they be burnt? El Pshita, we're talking about bones, this B'moyach, that haven't the marrow. If you can say that the carrier of Noiser has the same din of Noiser as Tzomis Kotchim, Amayin Tunis Reifa, why do the bones of Kotchim not require burning? They have in them the marrow, which has Noiser, and Noiser must be burnt. Amar of Nachem Elamai Zariah, the bones of Noiser is not considered Noiser. Aram Nachma Yitzchak, Hachemai Skin, Kemoin Shemotzen Chalutzim. The bones don't have in them any marrow. So some is Kotchim, the Aimbam Shem Shvirus Etzim. By breaking Kotchim, there's no Issa to break Kotchim bones. So we assume, Kam and Ahav and Noisu Chatzinu. They were broken before it became Noiser to remove the marrow. So these bones never served as carriers of Noiser. They were never a carrier of Noiser, and therefore v'loy bo'as reifa, they don't have to be burnt. However, at Tzomis HaPesach, the yesh b'mishmirus etzem, there's an issa to break bone, to break the Korban Pesach. And like Rashi says, the Brice, this territory of Rav Nachman by Yitzchak is going according to Rav Shimon, that says there's an issa to break a bone, but when is there an issa to break the bone? Only as long as it's a valid Korban Pesach. So when must he have broken the bone? Only Labosa to have a noiser the chatzino. Only after the marrow became noiser did he break it. Because before that he wouldn't break it, because he doesn't want to be over the avera of the etzem loisish ruboy. So that's why havelish shimish noiser. That's why these bones by the Korban Pesach are considered a carrier of noiser and have the same din of Noiser, and that's why Bo'as Reifa, they have to be burnt. So on contrary, now we have a Raya, says the Gemara, the way we're understanding the Gemara, that Shemesh Noiser has the din of Noiser. Rav Zvir Amar, Rav Zvir says a different teretz. Hachav Ma'iskin, what is the case over here? Kigoyin Shematzin Tziburin Tziburim. We found piles of bones. And the bones on the top of the pile had all of the marrow removed. So at Tzomis Kotchim, by the bones of Kotchim, Deimba Mishim Shvirus Etzim, where there is no concern that you're allowed to break a bone, L'Kula Havachol Tzlovachlu, what we assume happened was that every bone, in order to avoid Noiser, the problem of Noiser, he broke open the bone, which you're allowed to do, because there is no ether of breaking bones on other kabbonis besides the Korban Pesach, removed the marrow, and ate it. and therefore the rest of the bones that we don't see, we could assume the same thing happened, and v'loy bo sreifa, none of the bones in the pile require sreifa. However, at Tzomis HaPesach, when we look at the Korban Pesach bones, the Yesh B'Shem Shvira Setzim, there is a problem, you're not allowed to break the bone. And like the Mashah explains, this Pshat, Rav Zvitz Pshat, follows Rav Yaakov, that holds you never allowed to break a bone, even after the Korban Pesach becomes noiser, even after the Korban became disqualified. So you're not allowed to break a bone open. So, when we see broken bones, whatever happened here, we have a problem. Because if they were broken before they became noiser, it's certainly osur. And even if they were broken after they became noiser, it's also osur, because we're learning now like Rav Yaakov, who taught us that you're never allowed to break the bone of a Korban Pesach. Therefore, each bone, tells us Rav Zvid, has to be independently examined, because dimahani de chatsinu, maybe some bones he broke, l'hanach lo chatsinu, another bones he didn't break, and therefore by Sreifa, he has to examine each bone to determine if it has marrow and must be broken and must be burnt or not. So the Malaya Rayim asks two questions. One question he asks is that it should be even in the Kachim bones, the pile, the bones on the bottom of the pile should be examined because it's a Sfek Sfeka. Number one, maybe they are not empty of the marrow, and even if they are empty of the marrow, maybe it only were emptied after it became nicer. So there's two reasons to say that these bones are problematic. So we should have to examine even every one of the Kachim bones. Answers the Malaya Rayim that in essence there's really only one suffix. The one suffix is that when the marrow was taken out, was it taken out after it became nicer, and therefore these bones were a carrier for nicer, or did it happen before? So it's not considered a Sfek Sfeka. The Malaya Rayim, however, asks another obvious question. He asks, why is the Gemara saying that we don't have to examine every bone? Since it's not difficult to examine every bone, we should have to examine every bone. The halacha is that wherever we have a suffix, if we could be mavaru the suffix, if we could identify and answer what the status of the suffix is without relying on any chazakas, we have to do it. So why are we relying on all sorts of svaris when we could just examine the bones? So the Malay Rayim says two truths. One tarot he says is that we don't say that kol hecha de efshel veruri, wherever we could determine the status by ourselves, we have to do it when it's a tircha. And here it's a tircha to go examine every bone. Another type that he says is that by examining the bones, even if we see that the bones do have marrow or don't have marrow, that really doesn't give us a clear picture of the status of the bones. Because even if they don't have marrow, perhaps the marrow was removed after they became nicer. When, says the Maloy HaRoyim, is there a halacha that we have to do whatever to determine the status? Well, by doing that, we'll have a clear picture. Here, by doing it, we anyway won't have a clear picture. Because just because it doesn't have any marrow in it, it doesn't tell us when the marrow was removed. Therefore, Chazal did not require us to examine the bones by kachim, the bones on the bottom of the pile. Now the Gemara talks about the Gidin that were mentioned in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, Kol HaGidin and Basar, all Gidin are considered flesh, Chutz Megidei Tzavar, except the neck Gidin. They're not considered Basar. And says the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Hatzomas V'Agidim Anoisa, Yisufu B'Shish Asar. All these items should be burnt on the 16th day of Pesach. Hanigidin Hechidami. Let's understand what are the Gidim that the Mishnah is talking about. Ilay Megidei Basar, if we're going to talk about regular Gidim which are flesh, Nechlenu, let them eat them. The regular meat. Vidi Toiser, on the other hand, if they became nicer, had a nicer. Mishnah already mentioned nicer. Why does the Mishnah have to mention Gidin separately? Elapshita, what is the Mishnah referring to? Gidei Tzavar, the neck Gidin. So, Iyam Bishlam Basaninu, if you're going to say that the Gidin are considered like meat, Amtelahacha Bayis Reifa, that's why they require to be burnt. And like Toiser explains, really, they have the status of flesh. Really, they have the status of meat, and they should be considered like meat. However, nobody really eats them. So that's why they're oymed l'sreifa, they get burnt. Eli amrit la boson nu, if you Rabbi Yehuda are right, that they're not meat, lama l'sreifa, why did it have to be burnt? Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Chizda says, Am Mishnah speaking about the Gid HaNasha. Valiv Rabbi Yehuda, and it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Oymer. And before we go into the Gemara, let's review what the Gemara teaches us in Masechtas Chulin. The Gemara Masechtas Chulin quotes Rabbi Yehuda as telling us that the Gidin, that the Gid HaNasha, we know that we're not allowed to eat the Gid HaNasha. Says Rabbi Yehuda that only one of the Gid HaNashas are Asur. Every animal has two sciatic nerves, two Gid HaNashas. Only one is Asur. And he says, Vadas Machras, it seems to say the which Gid HaNashas Asur? The right one. So the Gemara in Masechta Chulin tries to understand what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says Hadas Machras. One pshat is, the Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Hadas Machras, Das Torah. The Torah told us it's only the right Gid HaNasha that's Asur, not the left Gid HaNasha that's Asur. Another Pshat Hadas Machras is, I have a suffix. I'm not really sure which Gid HaNasha is Mutter or Asur. I presume, and the Gemara over there explains why, it means the right one. So now, says Rav Chizda, that our mission is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda Oymer, and the Noi Gal Ba'achas, that the Gid HaNasha, only one of the Gid HaNashas is Asur, but Das Machran Shalimin, it makes sense to say it's the right one. So now we understand our Mishnah. Since the Mishnah is talking about the Gid HaNasha, the left Gid HaNasha, and that Gid HaNasha technically may be eaten, but it's not eaten, that's why it's still not considered like meat, which is not edible. It is considered edible meat, and that's what the Mishnah tells us. It's burnt. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to learn Pshat in the Mishnah, Velatishet, the Svuki Mesapkele, Rabbi Yehuda, we can now answer, we had a question, what did Rabbi Yehuda mean with Adas Machras? Did he mean that I think so? Or did he mean I'm sure so? It should mean that he only thinks so. Because im mifshe pshitale, if to Rabbi Yehuda it's obvious that the right one is Asur and the left one is Mutter, and that's what he means, das machras, that the Torah told us we're allowed to eat the left one and not allowed to eat the right one. So ahida teir nechli, so the left one I should be allowed to eat. Why does the Mishnah say Gidin should be burnt? V'disura, and the right one, which is Asur Nishnah, should be rather to throw it out. Because only what must be burnt? Only something which is allowed to be eaten. The Gid HaNasha on the right side may not be eaten. Lam l'sreifa, why do they have to be burnt? So if we see the Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the Mishnah is talking about the left Gid HaNasha, it should be a raya that it's not for sure that the right one is the Asur one and the left one is the permitted one. Amar of Ikabah Chinana, Kigon Shoklo B'Soifin Sarvo. Really, I could tell you that Rabbi Yehuda is very clear. It's Das Torah that the right one is prohibited and the left one is permitted. So what's Pshat in our Mishnah? What happened here was that the right one, the right Gid HaNasha and the left Gid HaNasha got mixed up. They both look the same, obviously. So I don't know which one is the right one and which one is the left one. And that's why they have to be burnt, because every gid that I'm looking at may be the one that is Asur. And that's why it has to be burnt. Ask the Mefarshim, if the concern is that they got mixed up, why does the Gemara have to say Kshahokru, that they were separate, identifiably separate, Ulubasayf Nisarvu? You could have just said Nisarvu, that they immediately got mixed up and we don't know which one is which. So the Tzlach answers that if they were never identified which one was the right and which one is the left, then we would not have a concern of Noiser. The concern of Noiser in our Mishnah is only applicable if it was once kosher. Hukru. The right one was always the Gid HaNasha and the left one was always edible meat. And then Lubasaif Nisarva, so we didn't have, so the left one can become Noiser. But if they were Nisariv, if they became mixed up from the beginning, so they were Asur always, because one is Asur and one is Mutter, and then there would not be a concern of Noiser. The Shagas Aryeh asks, why are we not allowed to eat the Gid Hanosha of a Korban Pesach? Why don't we say that the mitzvahs asay of eating a Korban Pesach should be doicha the lois asay of eating Gid Hanosha? So the Shagas Aryeh answers, the essay of eating Korban Pesach was given before Matan Torah. The lois asay of eating Gid Hanosha was given by Matan Torah, where he explains that although the parasha of Gid Hanosha is mentioned earlier, it's mentioned in Bereishis by the story of Yaakov and the Malach, the Torah only put it there because that's where the Issa comes from, but it was really given by Har Sinai. The rule that we say Ein Issa Doicha Lois Asay is only by mitzvahs that were both given at Har Sinai. But an essay that was given before Har Sinai does not have the ability to override a lois essay that was given Har Sinai. Dar Sameach gives a different answer. Dar Sameach says that here we're dealing with the issue of Macholos Asuris, that Gid Hanosha may not be eaten. When it comes to Macholos Asuris, eating something which is not kosher, the Torah is extremely stringent, and there the rule of Ein Esed Doicha Lois Asay does not apply. The Shar HaMelech asks, how could the Gemara consider that we should be Yotze eating the Korban Pesach with the Gid, even with the left Gid? The Gemara Masechta Chulin, he says Ein Begidin Noisen Tam. Gidin don't have a Tam. So if we eat the Gid, we're eating it shaloi kederech achilu. We're not eating something which is normally not eaten. So how could we have ever been mekayim the mitzvahs asay even with the left Gid Hanosha? So the Shah Melech answers, based on a Mishnah Lamelech, that even though somebody eats something not kosher, shaloi kederech achila, not in the normal way, he maybe is not over an iser, however, because it's not considered the normal way of eating, and that's why you're not considered you did an Aveira. However, when it comes to be Mekayim a mitzvah, where the Torah told us that you have to eat something, even if you eat it, shaloi kederech achila, even if you eat it not in the normal fashion, it's still considered eating and you Mekayim the mitzvah that the Torah told us to do. Rav Ashi Omer, Rav Ashi has a different explanation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about the fat that covers the Gid Hanosha. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Shamne Mutter. The fat of the Gid Hanosha is really Mutter. Visral Kedoshim Heim. However, the Jews act holy. The Chasam Sofer says, the Pasuk says, Viskadashtem. That is the source where we always have to be Machmer and try to be extra careful with Averis. V'noid Menissa, we don't eat the fat of the Gid Hanosha. And therefore, that's the Gid that the Mishnah is referring to. It's really halachically edible. We don't eat it, that's why, but since it's halachically edible, it must be burnt. There's an interesting Netziv. The Netziv says, there's a Shaila. We know that a Mila Shleibes Mana, a Bris Mila that's not taking place on the proper time, we're not going to make on Shabbos and Yontif. What about Yontif Sheni Shalgolius, on the second day of Yontif? Is a machlokes rishonim if you can make a meal shloi bezmano that day or not. So the Rambam says you can. And the explanation is, because making a bris meal is a mitzvah, having yontif sheni shogolius is a minig, and a mitzvah is stronger than a minig. As the Netziv, we're saying now that you're not allowed to eat, that we have a minig, a custom not to eat the fat covering the Gid Hanosha. But there's a mitzvah to eat Korban Pesach. So why doesn't the mitzvah of Korban Pesach override the minig of not eating the fat covering the Gid Hanosha? Says the Netziv that although the Gemara uses the terminology of Yisrael Kedoshim V'Nogav Isser, it's not just a minig, it's a derabbanan not to eat Gid Hanosha, and a mitzvah sasei of eating Korban Pesach doesn't have the ability to override a full-fledged Rabbanan. Ravina Omar, Ravina gives a different explanation of our Mishnah. Bechitzer, our Mishnah is talking about the outer part of the hip. Ukrav Yehuda Mishmul, Dom Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Shnei Gidin Hein. There are two Gidin by the hip. pnimi hasamach leatzim, the inner one which runs along the bone, aser, that's asam deraisa, the chayovin alav, and there's issa deraisa for eating that, and somebody who eats that will be chayv issa deraisa, and there's no carbon pesach applicable to that part of the animal. Chitzna asamach lebasa, but the outer gid which is closer to the meat, aser. It's only asam drabonim. So again, midaraisa, it's a full-fledged part of the carbon. However, nobody's going to eat it midrabonim, and that's why the Mishnah says it should be burnt. So the Mishnah said, chal shisha asr. If the 16th falls on Shabbos, the halacha is that we don't burn it. We don't burn the nice on the 16th day of Nisan, which is the day we normally burn it, but we're going to burn it on the 17th day. For my, ask the Gemara, Nasi essay, let the mitzvah say a burning noisa come, for yitcha loisa say, override the loisa say of doing melacha on yontif, am a chiskia, v'chein tana de bechiskia, am a kraw, loisa sirum imenu abayker, the Torah says you're not allowed to leave over from the current Pesach till the morning, v'noisum imenu abayker, be'esh tisroifu. She'ain tam aloy ma abayker. Why does the Torah repeat the word baiker the second time? The Torah teaches us that the carbon that becomes nicer should only be burnt on Cholamoid, never on Yontif, never on Shabbos. Asks the Rajba, what's the Gemara's Havamina that Essay Daichalaisa say that we should be allowed to burn the nicer on Shabbos or Yontif? When is the Redin of Essay Daichalaisa say? When I have no choice. I have an essay that I have to do. I've had a loisa say that I'm not allowed to do. I don't know what to do. So there's a rule, b'chol atayra kula, of essay doicha loisa say. But here, the essay and the loisa say don't necessarily conflict each other, because I always could burn it the next day. So why should I rely on essay doicha loisa say? So the Rajba says that not only is there a mitzvah to burn nicer, there's a mitzvah to burn nicer in the proper time. And therefore now, by not burning it on the first morning, I'm not doing it at the proper time, and that's why the Gemara says that that mitzvah of the essay of burning it in the proper time should be doicha the lois essay of yontif. Abai Amma, Abai gives a different reason why you're not allowed to burn nicer in yontif. The pasuk says, Amakro oilas Shabbos b'shabatoi, the oila of Shabbos on a Shabbos, which teaches us oil of Shabbos may be burnt in Shabbos, v'la oil is chayav b'Shabbos, a weekday oil may not be burnt in Shabbos, v'la oil is chayav b'yontif, a weekday oil may not be burnt on yontif, and therefore the carbon that was brought before yontif may not be burnt on yontif. Rav Amar, Rav says a different source. The pasuk says, hu levado yaslechem, the only thing that may be done on yontif is something which is oichel nefesh, something which is done in preparation of meals. Who? Only the preparation of meals. V'loy machshirif, preliminaries. Like we explained many times, you're not allowed to make a knife or an oven, which I will eventually use for cooking. Continues the pasuk, levadoi, v'loy mila shloy bezmanoi. We're not allowed to make on yontif a mila that today is not the eighth day. Habor mekav chayma, which we really would think through a kavachomer, we should be allowed to make on yontif. How would we think so with a kavachomer? So the way Rashi explained the kavachomer is like this. We know that the halacha of tzaras overrides avoida. Because if a kohen is a mitzayra, he's not allowed to do the avoida. On the other hand, avoida is stronger than Shabbos. Because we know that the avoida is allowed to be done on Shabbos and Yontif. We're allowed to bring kabbonis on Shabbos and Yontif, even though it involves Chil Shabbos and Chil Yontif. Now we take it a step further. So if we see that Shabbos and Yontif are overridden by Avoida, then certainly Shabbos and Yontif should be overridden by Mila. Because the halacha is that a Mila may be done even if by cutting the mila, you'll be removing a tzaras. So we see that mila is the strongest. Let's review again. Avoida is stronger than Shabbos. Tzaras, because we know we're allowed to do the avoida on Shabbos and Yontif. So Ras is stronger than Avoida, because if somebody is the kind is a Mitzayra, he's not allowed to do the Avoida. And Mila is stronger than Tsaras, because you're allowed to do a Mila even though it involves cutting off a Tsaras. So we should be allowed to do Mila Shleibes Mana on Shabbos for Yontif. Yet the Torah tells us, Levada, it may not be done. Similarly, even though we should maybe be allowed to do the burning of the carbon that became nicer, the carbon paste that became nicer on Yontif, the Pasuk is teaching us that we may not, Levadoi, these things that can be done after Yontif may not be done on Yontif. There's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu did Mila on all of Klal Yisrael before they left Mitzrayim. And the Chasam Sofer says that what that means is that they did a Mila on the night that they left Mitzrayim, which was the 15th of Nisan. As the Chasam Sofer, that we just learned that you're not allowed to do a Mila Shloi Bezmano on Yontif. So how, asks the Chasam Sofer, was Moshe Rabbeinu permitted to perform a Mila on Klal Yisrael on Pesach? So he explains that the Medrash tells us that on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Bnei Yisrael smelled a delicious aroma from Gan Eden, which gave them a tremendous strong craving for the meat of the Korban Pesach. So now they approached Moshe Rabbeinu and they want to eat from this Korban Pesach. They have a craving. And he told them that they're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach because the Korban Pesach is permitted only to those who have a Bris Mila. So they all had a Bris Mila in order to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. So why did they have the Bris Mila, says the Chasam Sofer? To satisfy their appetite. That falls under the category of Oichel Nefesh, and that's why it was permitted in Yontif. Only a Mila which is not for Oichel Nefesh may not be done in Yontif. But that Mila, says the Chasam Sofer, was done for Oichel Nefesh, and that's why it was allowed to be done in Yontif. Rav Ashi gives a different reason why we're not allowed to burn Oichel in Yontif. The Pasuk says Shabbosim, the Yontif. The Pasuk says that Yontif is a Shabbosim. Esehu, so it's a mitzvah say not to do Malacha on Yontif. Ve'en es doicha loisa say v'asei. Even though normally the halach is that a mitzvah say, for example, burning noiser, should be doicha the loisa say of Yontif, but here the Yontif doesn't only have a loisa say, it also has an assay, the assay being Shabbosim. Ask the Mefarshim. The assay of Yontif is a mitzvah assay shazman grama. So fine. For men, we have an essay to burn the noiser, and we have a lois assay v'assay of doing melacha on Yontif, and that's why we're not allowed to burn the noiser. But women who are potter for mitzvah assay shazman grama, so for them there's no assay on Yontif. So why shouldn't women be allowed to? Why should women not be allowed to burn the noiser on Yontif? The essay of burning the noiser, which applies to women also, because they also are relevant to the Korban Pesach, should override the lois essay of Yontif, and they don't have an essay to bolster the lois essay of doing melachas on Yontif. So Mefarshim explain, when we say ein essay doicha lois essay, the essay doicha lois essay, or ein essay doicha lois essay v'essay, what it means is like this. Essay doicha lois essay means that an essay is stronger than a lois essay. As we said earlier, when faced with a situation, I have a mitzvah essay to do, and I have a mitzvah lois essay which I'm not allowed to do. What do I do now? Essay doicha lois essay, do an essay. What does ein essay doicha lois essay v'essay tell us? That when I have an essay to do, and on the other hand, I have a lois essay v'essay on the other side, don't do it. It's not talking to an individual. It's not telling us this person has an essay and a lois essay, this person only has a lois essay. It's a measurement in which mitzvah, which action should be done and which action should not be done. Ein essay doicha lois essay v'essay tells us that the action of burning nicer is not more than the inaction of being mechalel yontif. That's teaching us a measurement in the mitzvahs, a measurement which supersedes the other. It doesn't talk to individuals. Once the Torah tells us that the mitzvah of Yontif is stronger than the mitzvah of burning nicer, it speaks to everybody, because it says that this mitzvah is more important than the other mitzvah.